Welcome to Great Minds, and our guest today out of the great state of Illinois is Jennifer D'Alessandro. Jennifer is the head of ad sales marketing for Future Today. They are one of the companies that's really leading the way forward in the burgeoning streaming media and technology landscape, doing some incredible work. We are very happy to have you here. It's a space that we love and are knee deep in many ways. So a heartfelt welcome and delighted to get a chance to talk to you today.
Thank you so much, Matt. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, listen, this is it's an absolute labor of love. We're now in season 5, Jennifer, and I was not sure when we started we would get to season 2. So thrilled to have you. So there's no one place to start with you, Jennifer. You've had such an incredible career, still very much in the midst of, but I want to go back to a company that is part of my history. I was very involved with an event that will immediately make you smile when I say it, which is the Goodwill Games, and working for and with Ted Turner when he was at Turner Broadcasting. So I'd love to go back and turn the clock back about 20 years and go back to your remembrances of working for Turner Broadcasting way back when. Start our conversation there. Yeah.
I feel very lucky to have started my career at Turner Broadcasting. The training there is unbeatable. They prepare you for the rest of your career if you really want to be in ad sales. And so I was lucky enough, I started at CNN. I was only there for a couple of months, and then I was transferred over to the PBS TNT sales team, which for me was a really great move, as I love entertainment. I love movies. I love TV shows. It was a better fit for me personally. So I was there about 2 years, and I learned things that I still use today. I learned at Turner, the way that they care about us, they taught us everything that we needed to know, really prepared you for multiple steps in your career and where to go from there. It was a wonderful experience.
And did you do that out of Illinois, out of Atlanta, out of New York?
I was in Chicago my whole career. I've been in Chicago.
Fantastic. Yeah, it was really, and it was a real farm system of talent. You know, you can go back and you can look at certain companies. Yahoo in the digital world is, you know, another one that was sort of a prolific producer of talented people. Turner was right there as well.
Yes.
Yeah, tremendous. And then you moved to Fox Cable when that was really in its infancy in many ways.
When I started at FX, they had MASH reruns, 90210, Married with Children. And so I was there when The Shield launched, which was very, very exciting. It was their first original program. And then I saw through numerous other ones come to life and see FX go from whatever number they were in the ranking in the cable world to a top 5 network very quickly.
And not only developing things on the business side, but, you know, John Landgraf and that team at FX, you know, really legendary and almost acted more like an HBO or a Showtime in many ways.
Absolutely. I would say that they were the pioneers in that space of pushing the envelope, taking it a step further than your traditional cable and seeing how far they could go. And they did a good job with that.
And both at Turner and at Fox, you started off, you know, as you said, you know, quite young. There must have been some folks who helped you along the way. Who were some of the great minds who you got to work for looking back at Turner and then at Fox in those early days?
Absolutely. So I worked under Joe Hogan's team in Chicago for 2 years. And my one of my mentors, Molly Hoffman, when I worked with her, she was amazing. She really, if you wanted to learn, she let you learn. And she was there for you. And then I went to FX and it was still a baby. I mean, it was still not, it wasn't a TBS and a TNT. It was still very much growing. And so that gave a different opportunity to absorb from multiple people and then also kind of make your own way, make your own track of how to do things and grow with the company, bringing Turner experience in, mixing it with the Fox way of life. So that was really great. And my my account executive that I worked for at FX was unbelievable, took me under her wing immediately, allowed me as that second tier, a planner, to be part of her team, her thinking, her everything about the business. She really helped me and helped me grow and helped me understand and helped me go through the system very quickly because,
Right.
unlike today, back when I was an assistant and a planner, it was years in the making. It was not 1 year you're getting promoted and promoted and promoted. You had to put in your time. And she definitely helped me. Nanette Johnson is her name, and I will be forever grateful for her for that time.
That's great. And back then, it seems like there was more of a commitment to training and to investing in people. My daughter recently worked for OMD, and they were really just thrown into the frying pan. There's no guidance, there's no training, lots of yelling, really tough culture. She got out quick, but I think at that time, when you were starting off, there was a lot more care and nurturing and training that went into it. Was that your experience?
It was my experience. I don't know if other places could say that, but Turner was all about the training. And then Fox was training as well. They really cared about keeping you there and they wanted to see you grow and stay within the company.
And you also got to work with a lot of media shops, the big ones out of Chicago, I guess Starcom being most prominent. But I know you work with the shops out of Texas and the Richards Group and GSD&M. Roy Spence was an old pal of mine. I loved Roy. And so many other agencies, large, medium, and small. Kramer Crisalt, another great, great, great shop out of Chicago. Were there, particular differences that you noticed working with those different shops? Were there some that got it better than others? It was also the era, sometime around in your tenure there is when the media buying really became much more technology fueled versus the old way, I suppose, of doing business. But any particular remembrances there that are noteworthy or things, that really stood out for you?
I liked working with both large tier, mid tier, small tier. They all have their different bring things that they bring to the table. I loved working with your Starcom at the time, Starlink and now Spark, and that we were kind of doing it together, and we all grew up in the business together. So from associate, we were making those steps together. But then I also love working with mid tier and small tier that I can help them understand the landscape, help them understand the players, because that is to my core. I'm a Midwest girl to my core, and I'm very transparent. I'm very genuine, and I can take off my hat of the company I work with to help people. And that was definitely more available to do when you're working with the smaller agencies, and just help guide and understand the landscape.
And a lot of the work you were doing there, sort of, cross-platform, multimedia, I would think that was kind of good preparation for what would come in the current streaming ecosystem with Future Today. Is that fair? Did that give you a good foundation?
So when I was at FX, they launched FX Now, gosh, maybe 10 years after I started at FX. So it was a good chunk that it was linear only. And then they launched these AVOD channels and they didn't take off right away. People were like, who's going to go download a show? Who's going to go find a show? Well, look where we are now. So it definitely worked and stuck around. And then I stayed in linear after Fox. I actually took a 2 year hiatus to stay home with my children. And they were older. They were in school all day. And I missed ad sales. So I came back and I came back as a manager at Weather Channel. And that again was all linear. And from there, I know you didn't ask me this question, but I'm kind of like feeding
No,
into it
go ahead.
myself.
Go ahead. You can play both parts here on Great Minds. It's okay.
I'll be the host
You
and the
can
guest.
ask and answer
Yes.
your own questions.
Awesome. That's how I like it. No, I'm teasing. But from there, I realized I'm an early adopter. I always have been. My husband's in technology. He's in cybersecurity. Our house is a smart house. It has been for a long time. And I wanted to be in that digital world. I wanted to be in that CTV world because I was a cord cutter myself. And being in the linear world, it just wasn't true to me. It wasn't genuine to me anymore because I was already living in this world of cord cutter and not having a cable anymore. And I truly believe people want to watch what they want, when they want, and how they want. And so working at Weather Channel kind of brought that to life for me, that it was time to make the pivot and to jump on that train.
I want to go back to this. I want to talk a little bit more about Weather Channel. Of course, we're going to talk about Future today, but we also have to talk about Be by Jen, a completely different direction. And I love that you have that entrepreneurial piece of you built around inspiration and really being true to oneself. So can we talk about the genesis of that idea? A little bit of a little different direction for Jennifer D'Alessandro.
Thank you for asking,
Of
because it
course,
is
of
my
course.
baby. So when I took the 2 year hiatus, about 3 months into being at home, I realized that I'm not meant to be sitting and idle. That's not my personality. My kids were at school all day. And so I took something that's very passionate to me, and it's mentoring and it's helping people, and I turned it into a business. And so Be by Jen was built by, I was doing it on the side already. I also started Media Gals of Chicago while I was at FX. And that was for a place for women to come, have resources, help finding new jobs, talking about the business. Because at that time, it was a lot of men were working in these networks and these places. And so I created a safe space for women to come together, and that was Media Gals of Chicago. I knew that it was a passion of mine. And so, how did I turn that into when I wasn't working anymore and I wasn't in the ad space anymore? But how could I stay relevant? And so, I started helping people in the ad community if they were laid off, if they wanted a change, if they wanted to be looking for a different job. I helped with people, resumes, interview prep, negotiations on salaries. Staying relevant, connections, because I was connected to the Chicago marketplace and the industry in Chicago. I had built a nice brand for myself and stayed in contact with all of those people. So Be by Jen was built about 3 months into me being retired from the ad community. And then I realized I did love working with the ad space, but then I also loved helping college students just when they graduated, because you are just thrown, you said it earlier, you're thrown to the wolves. You know, you might have a marketing degree. What does that mean? There's so many different things you could do. Ad sales, PR, marketing, there, you could go anywhere. And so I found my niche. And so for the next 18 months, I helped college students that were graduated and helped them. I just listened. And then I would hear, what do they like to do? What are they passionate about? What were some of their favorite classes in college? And then help guide them into agency life, sales side, creative side. There's so many different aspects. I even talked to a guy and he ended up in the military, and I might have helped him with that decision, but that's what was coming out to me when he was speaking. I'm like, your parents are going to hate me, but I this is what I'm feeling for you. And he's very successful now in the military. But I also help them. It's hard speaking to adults. You know, you're not really trained that in college. And I just help them be more comfortable with themselves, conversational, not so, okay, number one, where do you see yourself in 5 years? How do you answer that? You know, and be conversational about it. And then, so that lasted for 2 years, however, quickly became a non-for-profit, because I loved helping people, and college students don't have a lot of money. And so they would say, can I go on a payment plan? I'm like, nope, I got you. Let me know how I can help you. And so it's still alive today. It's very much alive today. And my day job is taking up a lot of my time. So I do help friends of family, friends of friends. I still do that in my spare time because I truly love mentoring people.
Absolutely fantastic. Do you find, Jen? I speak to a lot of young people as well, and I sort of marvel at the lack of knowledge about how to find a job that young people have. And, you know, I wonder, you know, the fundamental questions that they ask or don't ask. You know, I would like to be work for, I like music, so I'd like to work for Warner Music, and well, that's one company in a very large space. They may not have a job for you, you know, and I find the approach to be almost, I don't want to say infantile, that's the wrong word, but just really naive. And, you know, what do you think is going on out there with young people in particular, but older people as well, just don't seem to know how to even go about the process of packaging themselves and looking for a gig?
Yes, it's imperative to utilize your network. And I know not every, I came from a small town. My parents certainly were not sitting in an office with a job. They did not go to college. And so for people like me that I grew up, I knew nothing. And the colleges are very high level. You know, they'll direct you, they'll guide you. But I think people that are my age, around my age, it's our duty to give back to these kids and to help them understand. And, you know, I talk to my children's friends all the time, and I'm just coming off of a college tour with my daughter. I just got back last night and I met with the, at Ole Miss, they have a program for social media and digital media now. And I was chatting them up and, you know, just talking to them about their process, but they are getting better at it, I would say. I think that they are realizing that they have to help that kid post-grad. They have to have a connection for them, a resource, leaning on alumni, leaning on organizations that they could attach them to. And another thing that I'm a part of is Chicago Ad Federation, and they do a mentor program for kids that just graduated. And maybe they're thinking about marketing, advertising, all of that. They get to come and sit at a table, talk to a professional in the business, because you could talk to your parents all day long, but if they don't know what they're doing, if they've never been in that experience, it's very hard for them to give you advice that's going to get you to the right next level. And I also think that building your network is key. From the beginning, you're always networking, even as a freshman in college.
You're also someone who's really driven results. I mean, in your 3 years at Weather Company, Weather Channel, you took the business from a pretty small business to a pretty big business. Talk about, you know, leading growth. And I imagine that that's what led you to Future Today, that ability to drive growth.
Yes. The relationships are everything. They are everything. And the relationships that I had built from the previous, I don't know how many years before I got to Weather Channel. But those were the people I called. I'm still the same person. I go by JD, and I'm still JD, no matter where I'm working. Relationships. Everything. I got to Weather Channel. They want to know, what is JD doing? What brought you out of retirement? You were retired, done. And so they wanted to hear what I was doing. And they also knew that I'm very true to myself and I'm not going to go somewhere that I can't believe in. And it needs to be a natural thing for me to be helping people jump in and be a part of that. And who doesn't need the weather? Everybody does. And it was a huge change from FX. FX was younger, a lot younger audience. Weather Channel was an older demographic, but it was a needed source of information on a daily basis. It was not necessarily an entertainment product. It was a needed piece, news, weather, kind of in the same bucket. And so very quickly, due to my relationships, due to me embracing Weather Channel, because it was not your parents' Weather Channel anymore. They had changed so much with using virtual reality, with using these sets that were bringing tornadoes to life on sets. It was a very cool environment, and the sponsorships and the things that you could do with Weather Channel far exceeded what you could do at FX simply for the cost, because FX was this huge, enormous conglomerate where a brand couldn't touch a sponsorship for under, you know, whatever amount that might be. But all of a sudden at Weather Channel, we can create custom content and that they can use on social media and continue and wherever they want to use it. It was kind of a game changer at that time. So we were very successful during that time at Weather.
Fantastic story. So tell us how you got to Future Today. It's almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You seem to specialize in long runs, which is unusual in today's environment. Yeah. But give us the story, how you got there.
Yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, I knew it was time for me. It was time for my personality, my time for my likes and what how I was consuming media that I needed to go over to the digital side and the CTV side. And so I'd put some feelers out there, you know, thinking at the time it was Roku, it was Tubi, it was Peacock, Paramount, they weren't there yet. So it was Crackle. As I was chatting with these teams, I also had a revelation with myself that coming from Turner, Fox, then Weather Channel, I was liking that smaller organization, the vibe of having a very small network internally, not a lot of red tape. You could be more creative, you could do things to get partnerships in place. Very, I wouldn't say easy, but easier than corporate. And so when I spoke to Future Today, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what Future Today was. And I started doing my homework. I was like, wow, these guys are, they've really got something here. They built it themselves. It's a privately owned company, it's an independent publisher. And so they were all about movies, TV shows, and kids. They had a half the portfolio is living in that family side. And it was something I'd never done before because I went from very risky TVMA FX content to Weather Channel, which was news essentially, never touched kids or children or families when I was selling something. So a lot of things intrigued me. A lot of things also scared me. They did not have a sales team. So it was a tech first company and they built apps. So they spent the first 15 years of the company building apps. When I started, they had 700 CTV AVOD apps, all free to consumer. No login, no nothing. Just download the app. Then I came on board, and at the time, I was head of Chicago, and I was going to build out the Chicago team. And when I came here, again, the direct sales team was brand new. So the resources were limited. You know, marketing team, we had a marketing team, but they were focused on the B2C marketing side of things and making sure people were watching the content. But the sales team, I came in, and this is something that I love doing. I'm a creative person. So I'm not your normal typical salesperson where I'm living in the analytics and I'm living over in the math side of this world. I love the creative side too. So for me, as soon as he started saying, well, you would create your assets, you would create your one sheets, the story, you would create the story that you're going to go tell, that really intrigued me. And I didn't turn back. It just started snowballing. And within a week or two, I was working here. And so it was very fast. And I got here and it was right. We didn't have any materials to take out. But with my history, I knew how to sell. I know how to sell things and I know what the agencies want to hear and what are the hot buttons, what are the topics we need to be speaking to. And so I developed our marketing campaigns for the B2B side of marketing and took that to market. Again, rewind, relationships are key. Even if they haven't heard of Future Today, they know who I am and they're going to take my meeting. And they know that I'm here for a reason and that they should trust me because that trust is already there.
Sounds like the confluence of those relationships, changes in technology, and changes in consumer behavior, those three things all come together at Future Today for you. And I mean, you've got somewhere 600, 700 some odd distinct, I'll call them channels, because that's really what they are, isn't it?
They are channels. We have gone down. So now we're dealing with just over 300 because you don't need to have an app if nobody's watching you. So we went in about a year after I started. We brought in a head of programming. And so he came in and kind of looked at the portfolio and narrowed it down to about 300 individual standalone apps.
That's still quite a healthy number.
It's a healthy number. And we're not an aggregator or a reseller. So that is a confusion in the marketplace because you find all these people that will sell you something, but then they're going and buying the inventory from somebody and repackaging it for you. We own and operate all of our own channels. And that was an important piece for me too of why I wanted to come here.
And the production caliber and quality, consumers are used to a certain level
Yes.
today. How do you manage that across 300 channels and make it all work economically?
Yeah, so three of the channels are our Future Today flagship channels, meaning that, and that's Fossum, Happy Kids, and iFood. So we go in, we license content inside of there from every maker out there, movie studios, cartoons, reality programming, and we're feeding into these channels that are enormous. Outside of those three, we call them partner channels. So all of the other ones are a channel specific. We could speak to Lego Channel is one of our channels. So Lego came to us about right before I started, so maybe like 6 years ago, and said, "I don't have a hub for all things Lego. I've got Ninjago on Nickelodeon, Star Wars on Disney." You know, it was scattered all over the universe here. And so we started as a company that built apps for people. We're a trusted source in that space. We built the Lego channel, then we manage it, monitor it, market it, monetize it for Lego. So we own and operate the Lego channel. They supply all the content. So anything Lego has ever made comes and lives on our Lego channel, which is downloaded anywhere you can stream media.
Fantastic. And how is it all going?
Great. Great. And we're living in this space now that, you know, I've seen it. I've seen it grow from zero to now where we are today. And the agencies are getting a better understanding that there's so many players out there, and it's okay to change your paths and your campaigns, and it's okay to move away from what you've always done. And you're going to get the same quality. You're going to get the same, especially when you're working with a brand that has brought on linear people to be representing Future Today in the marketplace because we speak their language. We're storytellers. We give them what they're used to, and we help guide throughout the whole thing. We're not transactional by any means. And that's how I've built the team. That is how I've found success, is bringing in like-minded people that started in the linear space and understand that relationship that you're not talking about today. You might be talking about 3 months from now, 6 months from now, in the upfront. And it's patience and it's education and it's staying relevant that comes to fruition.
Fantastic stuff. So much press and so much heat right now in the space. Some of it positive, some of it more challenging. You know, what will happen with Paramount? Certainly in play. You've got, you know, very interesting situations where you've got two dominant players in Apple and Amazon, for whom their TV business is not a core business. It's really an ancillary business. And you've got, you know, people who it is a core business for, a la Paramount, or, you know, you could certainly argue that Peacock is part of the core business of, you know, Comcast, NBCU. What's your take on that? And I mean, it doesn't seem like everyone will be left standing, and that there's going to be a lot more turbulence. But, you know, I wonder, you know, you have unique perspective. Can I call you JD? JD, do we know each other well
Yes.
enough? JD,
Yes,
JD,
please.
JD. You have unique perspective. What's your take on where we are and where do you think we'll be in a year?
Gosh, that's a good question. You know, I think all the things you're reading and the what ifs and what's going to happen, you know, does Warner and Paramount make sense? They don't to me. I think they're kind of in the same spot. You said it in the beginning of this portion, Apple, Amazon, they need more content. They need more viewers. They need to beef up their space. So to me, it makes more sense that they're going to come in to play instead of having your traditional media people owning the big four. It all of a sudden now is these ad tech companies that are coming in. I know nothing. I mean, who am I? But this is just my perspective is that it's going to have a major shift from the traditional way of thinking about media and ad sales from that linear perspective to all of a sudden a digital first mindset coming into play. And Netflix is a good example that they have that digital piece behind them. They're going to be amazing. You know, they're still growing. Their ad supported side is very small still, but they're going to be there. There's no doubt about it. They're going to get there.
And they went out and hired Peter Naylor, who I'm sure you know, who's a top pro. And you know, if you put a good team in place and you got a good value proposition, you're probably going to be okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I think the turbulence is far from done. And I think where Netflix really sprinted out to a lead is international distribution. And I think that gave them a big advantage. And everybody, you know, got, you know, big eyes, as my father used to say. When we go to a restaurant, if I ordered too much, he would say, "Don't have big eyes." And I think everybody had big eyes, you know, looking at what they've done, but without the benefit of that global distribution. You know, I love Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I was in London and I missed an episode and I wanted to catch up. Max doesn't work in the UK, so you know, I think there's still a
So you
little
didn't see
bit.
the finale.
No, I've by now, of course, I've seen it by now,
Okay, it's so good.
I agree with you. But yeah, it's a fascinating space, and I think players like Future Today, you know, right in the middle of it, in a very interesting position. And in this niche game that we're now in, you know, a shop like yours can really do well if you've got the right people, and clearly in you they do. So they're
Yes,
lucky to have
yes.
you. And I love that you
Thank
kept
you.
your mentoring business going. I think that's fantastic.
Yes, I can't give it up. I love it so much. I wish I had more time for it, but I'm not going to give it up anytime soon. And you know, the other Future Today, you said it, we are well positioned because we own and operate the channel. We're that front line of content. All these buzzwords that are floating around, transparency, flexibility, duplication, we're in charge of all of that. So the best thing to do is work publisher direct at this point to know exactly what you're running in. And you don't have to run in things. That's the beauty of also being a smaller company. I will never force you into, you want to be in Happy Kids? Oh, you got to buy these five channels over here.
Right.
So we're very, very flexible and easy to work with. The other key thing is we are minority owned. So we are an Asian Indian owned company. And we have channels dedicated to celebrate actors, writers, producers in that DEI initiative bucket.
Great. Great.
Yep.
Which is the fastest growing part of the country. And
Absolutely.
I marvel at, you know, I'm very involved with a group called Hispanic Star, which is, you know, very passionate advocacy for the Hispanic audience, which is the largest multicultural
It is.
population in America, fastest growing, right around 20%. And the API community as well, we're very involved with. And the amount of time, energy, and effort going after a diminishing audience, you know, the old white folks, is mind-boggling. We're the slowest growing part of the country. And I don't want to start talking politics, but I think a lot of what's driving the divisiveness in our country right now is within our lifetimes, America is going to be more than 50% non-white. And I think there's a lot of old school folks who don't like that. And from a business vantage point, why wouldn't you want to talk to all your potential customers?
Absolutely. And you see it in the brands that they are creating content that is
Yeah,
speaking to
very
everybody.
much so.
They're making the change. And these broadcasts and cable networks that are not making the change, it's kind of like when the CTV train left and you didn't get on. Now this DEI train has
Yeah.
left. You
Yeah.
better get on
Well,
it.
you are on it, JD, and you are leading it at Future Today. And this was a real pleasure to talk to you. I had a lot of fun, and I hope you did too.
Same. So great.
We'll stay in touch.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.